Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening. Before, but when I was 17 years old, I had what many consider the dream job. I worked at Saks Fifth Avenue. Yes, the fancy clothing store in Michigan. And part of my responsibilities, as they would have fashion shows on occasion, was for me at 17 years old to take the company car, to get it all spiffied up and clean, to drive to Metro Detroit Airport and pick up the models for the runway show. It was a tough job, right? And I would take them out to dinner. I would make sure they had food and take them to the show and sometimes drive them back to the airport. And I just want to just be fully transparent and say those girls could have cared less about me. So they paid no attention to me at all. But it was a pretty fun job, except when it wasn't. Because those times that I wasn't driving models around in a car, a company car, I was unloading thousands of pieces of inventory off of trucks and attaching security tags to hundreds of items a day. And it was a tough job. See, even the best jobs have those things that we don't love about them, right? And it's almost like we're supposed to not enjoy our work. I mean, there's whole restaurant franchises built on this principle, right? TGI Fridays. Thank goodness it's Fridays. The work week is done. Or maybe you remember the 80s hit from Loverboy. Everybody's working for the weekend, yeah. We're just holding out as much as we can through the day-to-day grind to get to the weekend. It's kind of sort of an American right to complain about your job. Now, we spend a lot of our time working. There's been some studies that have shown that the average person, even just in a regular job, will spend about 90,000 hours in a lifetime working. Now, if you do the math, you realize that actually, I believe that's very low. Because we do all sorts of things that are work that aren't just going to a job that might pay us. But at least 90,000 hours spent in a lifetime. And we often think of work as a curse. We think, well, thanks, Adam and Eve. Would have been nice to just sit around all day in the Garden of Eden, enjoying this beautiful paradise, this vacation. But no, you had to go and take the apple, right? You had to go and ruin it. But that's not the way that work works. Work is not a curse. Genesis 2:15, we read this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This word for work is the Hebrew word abad. And it's the same word that's used to describe what God himself did when he created the world. See, God made us to work. In the garden, paradise on earth, there was work. But that doesn't feel like the way most of us experience work today. And we know that just in the next chapter in Genesis 3, sin entered the world and work was then cursed. But we weren't cursed with work. Work was cursed. You understand the difference? We weren't cursed with work. It wasn't something that happened to us because of the fall. Work itself was cursed. Now it's often hard, exhausting. Sometimes it feels like you're not actually accomplishing anything. How do I know this? The McDonald's ice cream machine. There's been whole documentaries done about this. This thing that people are constantly trying to fix, to make work, and then it continually breaks over and over again. If you've ever gone through the drive-thru and asked for an ice cream cone, they often say, our machine's down, right? It's been cursed. But work isn't a curse. If you've been going through the book of Proverbs this summer, we've been seeing how wisdom contained in this book can help us to become, the phrase we've been using is experts at life. We've talked about how we talk with each other, the words that we use. We talked about how Lady Folly, remember, often tries to seduce us. We've talked about how we can be wise with our money, with the resources that God has given us. Last week, Matt shared with us, how can we build wise relationships? How can we have friends that help us to succeed at life? And I think if we're going to spend 90,000 plus hours doing something, we need to get it right. See, there was a time when I think as Americans, we often thought in previous generations, and even some of us today, we kind of just think that work is something we have to endure. We didn't give a lot of thought to our what we did. We just did it because we had to. But things are a little bit different now. Studies have shown that the millennial generation and those even younger than that, they want work to have a deep, rich meaning. They care about that. And if we look at the wisdom of Proverbs, we can find fulfillment in working wise. The great theologian Martin Luther said, "Your work is a very sacred matter." I was talking with someone one day, and they said they wanted to get a job at a church so they could spend all their time doing the Lord's work. And maybe you felt that way before too. But what makes a job sacred or secular? I mean, is being a pastor at a church sacred? Being a missionary full-time to people across the world sacred? I hope so. But not all of us are called to be missionaries or full-time pastors or preachers. Often when we think about something as a sacred job, we think of something like this, right? Someone presiding over a service, maybe doing something like we're doing here this morning. But what about this? Is this a sacred job? Or what about this? Where's the sacredness in this? Or this? Now, this one's kind of a trick question because it's a Chick-fil-A bag, so maybe it is sacred. Or what about this? A teacher. Or maybe a doctor. Or maybe someone serving someone. See, jobs aren't sacred or secular. Workers are sacred or secular. Jobs aren't sacred or secular. Workers are sacred or secular. Dorothy Sayers said it, "The only Christian work is good work done well." Good work well done. Now let me be clear. There are jobs, certain jobs, that are not sacred. Because a follower of Jesus would not do them, right? You can't be in a job that involves sin or corruption or extortion or greed or abuse and somehow make that a Christian work. I think most of us understand that. We can't make what we might call a secular job, and when that, I mean sinful, not just something outside of a secular job, but we can't make, or outside of the church, we can't make that sacred by being a good person if it's a bad thing to do. I mean, a sacred person isn't going to be an adult entertainer or a thief or someone who works to steal others' identities. Now, those are all actual things that require work, right? But they're not sacred jobs. You might work hard at that kind of work, but it's not the kind of work that Proverbs is talking about. But it's not just jobs that we identify as that can't be something that's sacred. I've shared this story, I think, before too as well. My brother-in-law once worked for a company, I don't want to name the name, but it was a company that really was founded and built on the principle of preying on people who were financially at their worst, or struggling, or didn't understand a lot of what was happening. And so you would rent to own these items. And that sounds convenient, and sometimes it is, but it really was all about taking advantage of people, paying so much more than something was ever worth because people couldn't control themselves or they didn't have the means to do it right then. And the Holy Spirit convicted him that he was doing a non-sacred job. He couldn't do that anymore because it was taking advantage of people. But jobs aren't sacred or secular. Workers are sacred or secular. And today I want us to look at three aspects of work that we can see outlined in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at what Proverbs has to say about our work. And I want us to ask three questions. The first is this: who are you at work? Who are you when you're at work? See, as followers of Jesus, we are sacred, remember? So that should have a direct connection with the kind of person that you are in your work. And by work, I don't just mean a job you go to, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that. The things that you put your heart and mind and energy to. As a follower of Jesus, there shouldn't be a distinction between who you are at work and who you are other places. This is all about the word integrity, right? Who are you at work with your integrity? And Proverbs has some things to say about that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. We have to work as people with integrity. We also can see how we need to work with people or work as people who are honest. Proverbs 11:1 says, "The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights." We think, what are you talking about, scales and weights? Well, back in that time, they would often, as you had transaction, business transaction people, you would use scales to weigh the amount of how much something was to determine how much something was worth. And they're saying that someone who has honesty, someone who is being a wise, sacred worker, will not use dishonest scales. It was pretty common to weigh down scales, to balance them and tip them in a way that made it so that you would take advantage of a customer. Who are you at work with your reputation? Proverbs 22:1 says, "Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold." Who you are at work matters. We need to be people of integrity, people of honesty, people who have a good reputation. See, if people are what makes something sacred or secular, then who you are at work matters just as much as what you're doing at work. We see this echoed in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Paul says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." Did you catch the beginning of that? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. That means you are sacred. Each of us is a minister. So the first question we ask is, who am I at work? Do I carry my kingdom identity as someone that's full of integrity and honesty and has a good reputation? See, to be wise in our work, we need people who are the same Monday morning as they are on Sunday morning. Who are you at work? The second question that Proverbs begs us to look at is, how are you at work? How are you at work? This is all about excellence and faithfulness. How you work, the kind of output you have, the motivation you have. The second question we need to ask is, how are you at work? And Proverbs really drives this home. More than just about any other topic, Proverbs is intent on us understanding the right way to work. It uses some pretty strong language to the contrary. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, "Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter." He calls us lazy bones. Now, that's an accurate translation of that word, but that phrase is, I think, has lost a little bit of its punch today. I mean, we sometimes say that jokingly. We might even say our kids, "Oh, you're lazy bones." Some other translation use a word here that I think better conveys the point. The NIV says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Just love being called that. Kind of conjures up Jabba the Hutt or something, right? Sluggard. Well, that's not a word we use a lot today, but you get the idea. Being a lazy bones kind of sounds nice and leisurely. I mean, I kind of want to be a lazy bones sometimes, right? But I don't want to be a sluggard. Or as the CSB translates it, "Go to the ant, you slacker." You slacker. Anybody who grew up in the 80s, Back to the Future, remember that guy, right? Slacker. But that word literally means, here's what slacker actually means. It's someone who's failing at their purpose. He's saying, don't be someone at work who's failing at your purpose. Slackered, sluggard, lazy bones. Proverbs wants us to know just how bad laziness is. Proverbs 26:14, as the door swings back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in bed. Now remember, Proverbs is giving us principles, not promises. So that doesn't mean that if you hit snooze once or twice that you're somehow a sluggard, okay? But if that's part of the rhythm of your life, of just being too lazy, too much of a slacker to actually get out of bed. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Remember, it's a principle again, not a promise. It's a principle that if you continually are a slacker, a sluggard, you're not fulfilling the purpose that you have. It's going to be tough to get by. Charles Spurgeon has this great quote. He says, work is always healthier for us than idleness. It's always better to wear out shoes than sheets. I love that. Proverbs 20 verse 4 says, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Proverbs 24:27 says, do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. That doesn't use the word lazy or slacker, but the theme is the same. You're not working at the right things. You're not fulfilling your purpose. That's what it is to be a slacker. Proverbs 12:11 says, a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. What is this talking about? Are you spending more time dreaming about what could be? Dreaming about that perfect job. Maybe you're in your job and you don't really care. You're not really working as much as you should be. You're not being faithful and doing what you can with excellence because you're thinking about the next step. I've had moments like that. I think we all have. Where we're not really invested in what we're supposed to be doing because we're dreaming about what can be. Some of us spend more time dreaming about the job that we want instead of working on the job that we have. And not working with excellence or faithfulness in your job is not fulfilling what God has called you to. It's not being a wise and sacred worker. We can't expect to get this job. There's nothing wrong with dreaming about what we want to do one day, but we can't expect for God to give us that if we're not going to be faithful with the job he has placed before us. Jesus himself talks about this in Luke chapter 16. He says, so if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you are disobedient in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Being lazy is a form of dishonesty. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy one says, the slacker, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the streets. We might on the surface think, well, then don't go outside. But the point is, there's not actually a lion out in the streets. Lions are not usually found in the streets. They're found in the jungle. But the slacker, the sluggard, the lazy bones will make any excuse possible to avoid what God has called them to do. What are some other ways that this plays out? We might not ever say, well, there's a lion, so I can't make it to work today. I'll tell you a way that I do this. I know that God wants me to exercise. That's part of work. But I'll say, well, I can't work out because I don't have the right equipment. Or the room isn't set up the way I want it. Yes, I actually say stuff like that. Or I was going to work on that project, maybe you'd say, but you know, the day's half over. So, I mean, what's the point? That's the same as saying, I can't go outside because there's a lion in the streets. What are some ways that we do that? If we make excuses for not doing the work that God has called us to do, sometimes it's out of fear. Sometimes it's out of laziness. But see, it's not just doing work. Wisdom is working at the right things at the right time. All throughout this series, we've been using this definition for wisdom: doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, for the right reason. That's wisdom. And this applies to our work as well. And the things that I did when I served many years ago as a worship leader are different jobs than what I do as the lead minister of this church. I actually had people that told me when I accepted the call to come here, "Stephen, you need to make sure to not do those things that you once did," not because they were bad things, they were the right things for that moment. But I have different responsibilities. But so many times we're not working wise. We're doing the things that maybe we really enjoy the most, or the easy way out, when God has called us to focus on other things. My wife recently launched a pastoral counseling practice, and that's something I wanted her to do years and years ago. But at that time, the right thing for her to do, the wise thing, was to be at home raising our children. Now, I'm not saying that that's something that everyone has to do, but for our family at that time, it was the wise decision. And so many of us, we try to do the thing we want to do when it's not time to do it. That's a form of being a slacker. It might not feel like that because you're active, but you're not fulfilling your purpose. You're not being wise, good stewards of what God has put before you. Colossians 3:23 says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." How do you work? Are you doing everything with excellence and faithfulness, even the hard things? Who are you at work? How do you work? And the third question we need to ask is, why do we work? Why do you work? Do you remember the Hebrew word that I shared earlier for work? Abed. It comes from the same root word as the word for worship. Matter of fact, over and over in the Old Testament, these two words are used interchangeably: work, service, and worship. We already read Genesis 2:15. The Lord God placed man in the garden to tend, to work, and watch over it. We also see it in Joshua 24:15. "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve," who you will worship, who you will work for. "But as for me and my house, we will abed," worship, work for the Lord. In Exodus 3:12, God says, "I will be with you, and this is a sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." It's the same word. Work and worship are intricately connected. We really need to be thinking of our work, not just our 9-to-5 jobs, but the things that we put ourselves towards, the energy that we exude in that. That work is worship. Our work is worship. How many of you have a boss? Richard raises his hand because I know it's Pam. How many of you are a boss? Okay, some of us are a boss. I didn't say bossy. Okay. How many of us work for God? All of our hands should be up. We're working for the Lord, and that work is worship. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's our work, whatever you do. Everything we do, including our work, is worship and should be done for the boss. I'd suggest that since we're going to spend 90,000 plus hours doing it, especially our work, should be something that we do for God. We sang this morning about the breath in our lungs, pouring out praise. That's work. The breathing that we do, everything that we do is working, worshiping our God. We're breathing out praise to God in everything that we do, everything we put our hands and our minds and our hearts to. That's why worship shouldn't be just, I come here and sit. Believe it or not, our worship time, even in this room, is work. And not just for the people that are up on the platform, right? It's for all of us. We should be actively working. It's our worship. I think that's in some ways why some of us like to raise our hands or bow our knees. It's reminding us there's activity involved in this. It's work. It's worship. Our work is worship. But our work is also our witness. It's our example in every place we are and in everything we do. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." It's a call to our witness, to work so that we can serve not just our God, but others around us. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see any truly competent workers? These are the wise people, the sacred workers. They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people." Not all of us are going to actually serve kings, but as the work we're doing is going to be noticed by those around us. Who are you working for? Because excellence gets noticed. Skill and diligence put you in a place of influence. When Christians work with excellence, it reflects God's character to a watching world. Even people who may not agree with our faith, they can't help but be impressed by our work. And they're not just impressed by us. Something is different about a sacred worker for the kingdom. Why do you work? Is your work both worship to and a witness for Christ? So this week, I want you to ask yourself three questions. Who am I at work? Am I living out my calling as a sacred worker for God's kingdom? Am I working with integrity and honesty? How do I work? Am I working with excellence? Not perfection, but excellence in all that you do. Are you working diligently or are you slacking? And why do you work? Is it just for the money? Or are you a sacred worker with a sacred purpose? Is my work, whether it is worship, abed, not only it provides for my family and pays the bills, but are you recognizing that your work gives honor and glory to God? Is your work a witness to your coworkers, your family, your friends, and to the world? I mean, imagine if all of us got up tomorrow and walked into our job, whether it was here, at the Walmart Distribution Center, whether it was at the hospital, whether it was at the factory, whether it was at the high school, or maybe it was in our very own home. But if all of us woke up tomorrow morning as we headed into work and realized that this is going to be a sacred place, wherever you find yourself is holy ground. And maybe you're retired, but you're still working. You're still working for the Lord. You still have sacred work to do. Maybe you're not yet in a job at one of those kind of places, but you one day want to be. The work that you're doing is sacred work, not because it's a sacred job, but because you are a sacred person. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Are you going to work with integrity? Are you going to work with excellence? And are you going to work in everything that you do for God's glory? Proverbs tells us to build our lives on wisdom that starts with the fear of the Lord. We've seen that all throughout this series. And that applies to our work as well, recognizing that God is actually our boss, that he's the one we're really working for. And how we work, how we treat others while we work, and what we do, it matters. See, your workplace is your mission field. Your work is your ministry. And your calling is to do all of it for His glory. I want us to close our time together with some work. I'm going to ask us all to stand. We're going to sing one last song to remind us of the work that we have before us, that everything that we do, we're going to build on a life that's about giving God glory. That's going to be the foundation for who we are as people. As you think about those images of those workplaces, you find yourself there tomorrow morning or someplace like that. Are you going to build your life? Are you going to work as a kingdom worker for His purposes and for His glory? Let's pray together. God, may we be people who build our life on a foundation of You. And Lord, tomorrow as we get up and go to work, wherever that might be, whether it's in our home, whether it's at a job, an office complex, a construction yard, outside, inside, school, wherever it might be, Lord, may we be people who are building our lives working for You. May we recognize that the job isn't sacred, but that we are bringing sacred holiness to that place of work as we work for the kingdom and for Your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen.